Lord, we thank you for this morning as you set up, Lord. Thank you for your spirit, your sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place. How great is our God. Thank you, Lord, for coming through, delivering, healing, and setting free according to your will, not according to our plans. But we're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord, for who you are. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, it illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying world. Your word teaches us what to say, what to do, how to live, where to go, where not to go, what to say, what not to say. Discretion, wisdom, understanding, insight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the discernment of your word. As we discern the times through your word. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say this morning. We love you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Natalie, let's go to let's jump right into it at Daniel 3 and verse 13. So as we pick up from last week, you remember the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to the kings. Golden image, and they were threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they did not sell out, because they did not bow down to the king's image. We told the youth to make a note because at the time they were 16 years old, around 16, 17. So youth, you're never too young to sell out to God. Their image was gold. Nowadays, we probably say our image is green. Amen. Our image would probably be green. Are you going to sell out to the green or the gold? Or are you going to sell out to God? You cannot serve the green and the gold and God at the same time. It will never work. And you have to decide now, what are you going to bow down and worship? So these three men, these three youth, they refused to bow down to the image. So I'm going through my word. Trying to do it without my glasses, all right? That's a 3 and 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, because he found out, because someone was watching the certain Jews in verse 12, it was certain haters watching the certain Jews. There's always certain haters watching you, so make a note of that. They told the king that these three Hebrew boys refused to bow down and worship the golden image. Verse 13, we pick it up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and in his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. The king, he changes his tone in verse 14. He says, now Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, notice it's a little g and a s, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. We talked about the green and the gold are God. Make your choice of who you're going to serve. And he's trying to woo them, as to say, don't you trust me? It's not that bad. Just do it once. Everybody else is doing it. It'll be okay. You don't be stuck up on this. Don't be all holier than thou. Don't try and put yourself on a pedestal. Don't be a Jesus freak right now. Don't be a church boy right now. Don't be a church girl right now. Stop rocking the boat. Then he breaks it down in 15. But if you be ready, and just make a note, ladies and gentlemen, that when the enemy can't get you once, he's not going to stop then. So here he comes again. And he says, I'm going to give you another chance to compromise. I'm going to give you another chance to sell out. I'm going to give you another chance to take that drink, to hit that joint, to lay up with me, to lie, to steal, to cheat, to do whatever. I'm going to give you another chance, because I know right now you're kind of tripping right now. So I'm going to give you another chance to do it. Ladies, don't expect, after you tell him not to call, don't expect him not to call. He's going to come by and say, give me another chance. Men, she's going to say, hey, I understand that you're married. I just want to talk. Don't expect them to go away. We talked about it last week. Look at verse 15. Now, if you be ready at the time, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Here we got the music. He mixed the music in with the pressure. Most times it leads to a compromise. We talked about Luther, we talked about Jeffrey Osborne, we talked about Barry White. Who else did we talk about last week? Who else? Teddy Pendergrass. Yes. I remember going to a Luther concert and he started singing and all of a sudden some underwear came up on the stage. That music could do it, boy. I tell you, to have, woo! It'll have you losing it. I'm telling you. The enemy has always used music. Why do you think you walk into the mall or the department store and that music is playing? And you went to get one item, now you got three bags. Because the music is playing. And it influences. Satan has always used music for his advantage. Make a note. Let's go there. I tell you, it ain't no way we're going to finish this. But Natalie, go to Ephesians 2:2. Family, I'm not saying get rid of your music. You know I love music. I was experimenting all week with music. I'm telling you. Putting on a song like, hey, that's my song. Man, my whole body language changed when a song came on. Put on some old school. I was all throwing up my hands and stuff. Will you cut that off? What is wrong with y'all? Music. I'm not saying get rid of your music. I'm just telling you, if you don't understand the enemy's devices, you will not live a victorious Christian life. And he works through the music. Look what it says right there. We're in time past. Like last night or last week, you walked according to the course of this world, of this age, this orderly system of deception, according to the prince of the power of the air. So he controls the airwaves. Airwaves. That's radio. That's TV. Those are air. Why do you think TV is so corrupt? He controls, he's the prince of the power of the air. Don't tell me you don't believe in anything you don't see. Yes, you do. You don't hear the air waves. You don't hear the sound. You don't see the sound waves. You don't see the TV waves. But if we put the right antenna, an image would pop up. And Satan controls that. He's the prince of the power of the air. He influences that. You got to be careful what you listen to and what you see, because it's someone that's controlling that. And in times past, we used to walk according to the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he's using music. Just like there, he told him, when you hear the music, you bow down and worship. I bet that was the jam that he put on. Just make you forget about everything that you've been taught. And then you fall down and worship. So he uses the airwaves and the TV waves, and I've seen some of you use your microwave. That's a different message, though. But I've been in your house. I saw what you put in your microwave. That's another message for another time. Okay? That's another message for another time. The microwave, all right? But don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And family, I'm telling you. All right? Look at the songs, the commercial. I remember when I was teaching fourth grade and I had a kid spell cheese, and he said it was K-R-A-F-T because he'd been watching the commercial. How Kraft spelled cheese, K-R-A-F-T. I said, no, son, no, that's not how you spell cheese. But he listened to those jingles all day. Let me get a McPick too. I don't even like McDonald's. But I can sing that song. You learned your ABCs to music, right? You could break out now in the course of ABCs, and you did that years ago. Just understand, Satan has always used music to influence us to do what we're not supposed to do. And then God flips the script and uses music so that we can live according to the way we should. Why do you think it's so hard to get the church on time? And Satan will tell you that it's just the only thing you're going to miss is praise and worship. Only thing you're going to miss is the music. You really think he wants you to sit here and hear this type of music and hear this type of worship that we do? Because God speaks through the worship. Yes. Satan is like, I can't let him get to church on time. All you're going to miss is the music. Don't worry about that. You'll get there for the most important part, which is the word. I'm not taking anything from the word, but they go together. From the worship to the word is the service. I'm just telling you, family. If you're not aware of how Satan uses music and how his devices are, TV, the music, the airwaves that he controls, I'm going to show you in just a minute, then you won't live a victorious Christian life. Think about it. If I'm picking you up to go to the concert, we're going to be on time. Why? Oh, I got it. He might sing my song first. She might sing my song. I'm going to be in my seat when the concert starts. I'm not going to miss my song. You crazy. Okay, cool. So church is different. You telling me the concert is more important than church? Yeah, I know. All right, praise the Lord. It's cool. That's all right. I'm just telling you, you don't want to be late to the concert. You'll be upset. You'll be fighting. You made me miss my song. I can't believe you got... Oh, it's just... Only thing we're going to miss is praise and worship. Don't worry, we get late. We'll be there. We'll be there for the most important part, which is the word. Natalie, take us to Isaiah 14:11. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Family, we got to be prepared to fight daily. This thing is a daily fight. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to be challenged to fight. Or are you going to be challenged to just give in? Every day you're either fighting or you're giving in. There's no two ways about it. That's the Isaiah 14:11. It's talked about when Satan got kicked out of heaven. It says, thy pomp. All right, let's go. Let's put this in context. Let's start at 9. It says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Satan then got his butt kicked out and he's in hell. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, all those that you influence, they all in hell waiting for you. It raised up their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto you, man, are you also become weak as us? Art thou become like unto us? Are you in hell with us? You were running things at one time. Now you in hell with us. Look, verse 11. Your pride is brought low. Your pride, that pomp in the Hebrew is pride. Man, your pride is gone. Your pride has brought you down to the grave. I'm not going to even get into a message of pride because that's a whole series. When you're having issues in your relationship, it's because of the pride. Somebody will not humble themselves in the sight of the Lord so the Lord can lift them up. Issues in the marriage come back to pride. Parent to son, son to daughter, father to son, father. It's all because of somebody's pride. It's going to be like this or it's not happening at all. It's going to be like this or we're going to move some furniture in this place. It's always the pride. But look where pride got Satan. That's why as we were reading yesterday, those of us who committed to the Proverbs in Proverbs 16:17, the seventh thing God hates, the first one was a proud look. The pride, because it destroys everything, comes in many forms and fashions. You want to destroy a business, a family, or anything, a church, a ministry, let somebody come in with pride. Start gossiping and jealousy and envy, all rooted in pride. It'll tear a family apart. It'll tear a marriage apart. It'll tear a home apart. You have siblings who haven't spoke to the brother or the sister for 20 years. Why? Because of pride. I said I wasn't going to go there. But it says your pride is brought down to the grave, and the noise, and that noise in the Hebrew, the sound of your music. And the vows are the musical instruments. They all brought down to hell with him. He was in charge of music in heaven. And now he's a prince of the power of air. So it's no accident that music influences us to do things that we shouldn't. Or when we listen to our worship music, you even have to be careful with that, because your mind will start wandering. You got to stay focused, and you influence you to do things that you should. So here we are. We're stuck in the middle. Are we going to listen to God, or are we going to continue to be influenced by Satan to do what we shouldn't do? Or are we going to listen to God and do what we're supposed to do? And live this thing victoriously. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Dude, he's fallen, but he's still influencing while he's falling. Look what he says, though. Look at the insight. For you have said in your heart, it comes back to your heart. It's always a heart issue. It's not your actions, it's what's in your heart. He said this in his heart. I will ascend into the heavens, which lets you know he was not way up in the heavens. He's trying to get to heaven where God is. He was always beneath God. He wanted to be God. I will exalt my throne above the stars. He's not even above the stars, but he wants to be like that. Above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He's not really above the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. That's that pride, boy. Did you notice? Circle the eyes in there. Circle all the eyes. And next time you're in an argument, circle all the eyes. Write down what the argument was about. And it's going to be, I wanted this. I wanted that. I want this. I, the eye disease. And that's how you know you're dealing with pride. Because it's all about you. It's never for the sake of the relationship. It's never for the sake of the marriage. It's never for the sake of the family. It's never for the sake of the church. It's all about I. Lucifer was a sum of all beauty. Start looking at himself. Start thinking, I want to be like this. I want to. Obviously, God said you can't do that. He got kicked out. But he had all, and all his music and everything else got kicked out with him. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. And those of us, and I was in the music industry as well. I know Brother Mark is in the music. I know Brother Damon is in the music. And we can sit and tell you stories about the music industry. How treacherous it is. Why? Because you know who's running it. You know who's running it. And you have to be very careful, because if you're not, then you are compromising. Let's go back to 15, Daniel 3 and 15. Now, if you be ready, at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, look, he got the music. It is all lined up. Ladies, I tell you, do not go by his house late at night, because I tell you, when you walk in the door, the music will already be playing. Guys, do not go by her house. Because you're going to walk in and the music's going to be playing. You're going to talk and that music's going to be on and you're going to be done. It's nothing new. When you hear the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image. Wow. When you hear the music, you fall down and worship. Music, false worship. Remember, you're going to worship the green, the gold, or God. You can't have them all. And with the Olympics, we all, our oldest daughter was saying, everybody's tuned into the Olympics. Yes, it's the prince of the power of the air. It's the airways. I mean, I'm not saying I watch the Olympics. I'm just saying. You know, it's the green, it's the gold, or it's God. I have a good friend, and you can look him up, Kevin Young, UCLA, won the gold medal in 1992. The 400 hurdles, record time, 46.78 seconds. So we were out and we were talking to some students years ago, and Mike was saying Kevin was saying he had 46.7 written all on the walls. So he's talking about just the mindset. Just like we try and memorize scripture so we stay in the right mindset. Okay, all right. So He had it written all around it. That's all he said. He ate and he slept for weeks and months. 46.78. He was going to break that record. He did it. And he went to L.A. Jordan High School. So right out of Watts to UCLA to Olympic gold medalist 1992. It's a beautiful story. A really good guy. But that gold medal, and it was beautiful, too. He brought it. I was like, man, that is, whoa. Man, that gold to get you, boy. I was ready to go, man, yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's the real deal. The beautiful case. The case is just as beautiful as the gold medal. You know, but that gold medal, it ain't going to heal you. It ain't going to deliver you. It ain't going to set you free. It ain't going to intercede for you. It's not going to pray for you. It doesn't open doors. And to the contrary, will put you in bondage if you start worshiping that. Same thing with your money or your phone. I don't even call it a phone now. Those things are computers, which happens to be a phone. That's all they are. They're computers, which happens to be a phone. So you can't worship the false gods. I don't care how attractive they look. All right, so let's finish. When you fall down, and worship the image which I have made. That's well. But if not, you should be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's a lot of pride, putting yourself before God. But look, you got the music, you got the image, and you got some pressure. That'll get most people. That combination will get most people. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. King, it's a no-brainer. We're not going to bow down and worship. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Number one, make note that God is able. Whether God delivers you or not, it's not because he wasn't able. It's just because it wasn't his will. But God is able to deliver. He's able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Either way, like I said, through death, they're delivered, or if God heals them, they're delivered. But either way, God can deliver because he can. Yeah. Make a note. This is their last will and testimony. I trust God. Do what you got to do. I trust God. That's their mindset. This is their last, because they're getting ready to go into the fiery furnace. Do what you got to do. I trust God. Can that be our daily testament as we navigate through life? Do what you got to do. I trust God. I'm not going to bow down and worship that stuff. Do what you got to do. I'm going to trust God. And, you know, more and more, the spirit of the Antichrist is just showing its ugly face within society. God's out of the schools, take him out of the Girl Scout pledge. They want to get God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Don't say anything about God. Do what you got to do. I trust God. And it's easy to say on Sunday morning when we're all here like-minded, but it's tough. Monday through Saturday, that's the real deal. It's when it's really tough, when you're the weird one, when you're the oddball, when you're rocking the boat. When they're going to look at you and it's the boss, I might lose my job. That's when it's tough. It's easy. Let's keep it 100. It's easy to say now. Oh, I would have been just like them. I would have said, burn me in the fiery furnace. Well, I don't know. I'll say that right now in front of you all. But I don't know. Just know that the pressure is on. And they put some music on. And then they start pressuring you. And they start saying things. And you say, well, okay, just this once. But God, you know, God, you know my heart. I ain't going to do it again, but I'll do it this once. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up, which you've set up, not which God has set up. It's their last will and testament. They're not going to worship the golden image. My last will and testament, I'm trusting God. Look at verse 18. I'm sorry, 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And expect people to change when you don't change. When they see that you're serious, expect them to get serious on the other end. When they see you won't compromise, don't expect them to be your friend. Then Nebuchadnezzar's was full of fury, and the form, his whole face changed. His whole attitude changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was going to be heated. Wow. It's the question of the day. Can you stay committed to Christ? Can you and I stay committed to Christ when it's seven times more crazy than anything I've ever dealt with? This is 7 times more bizarre, ridiculous, intense, and tempting than I've ever dealt with. Can I stay committed? When the heat is turned up 7 times. At first she would just pass your desk. Now she wants to sit on your lap and drop you notes. Can you stay committed, or are you going to cave in? Are you going to cave or stay committed? First he would just smile. Now he's giving you gifts. Oh, this is 7 times more crazy than anything I've ever dealt with. Family, how do we handle that? When the enemy turns up the heat on your marriage, how do you handle that? And your kids and your family and your job, how do we handle it when it's turned up 7 times more crazy? Your kids were acting crazy at first. Somebody say, how many of you have kids? How many ever seen a kid? All right. When your kids was already acting crazy, now they're 7 times worse. Do you cave or you stay committed? Do you keep loving them or you stay committed? I've been challenging us for the past 3 weeks to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day, because we're being challenged to love. So we need to read so we can know how to love. Amen. Can you still love when they're acting 7 times crazier? When your wife is tripping 7 times worse than she was already tripping. Or when your husband was tripping 7 times worse than he was already tripping. I'm going to balance that thing out because I want to go home in peace today. You already know, Sister Tara. Pastor ain't no dummy. You know that. Family, how do we handle that? How do we handle? That's why we got to stay committed to the word. That's why we're reading the Proverbs every day. That's why we minister to God when we get up first. So when that heat is turned up 7 times worse, we're already in the word and we know that God has it. If God be for us, who can be against us? That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That when the pressure is intensified and the music is playing and the mood is right, that I'm going to stay committed to Christ and I'm not going to cave in to the culture. If you're not reading the word, I'm telling you now, I already know you're getting your butt kicked every day. Talking about God understands. Because you're too lazy to get up a few minutes and get committed to this daily. And it's you see, it's no joke out there. Just ask a kid, say, let me listen to your favorite 3 MP3, iPod, whatever. Let me listen to those 3 songs with you and see what the enemy is teaching our kids. And you don't want to get up and study your word. And then you want to get mad at them. Because you're ignorant of the enemy's devices. Just ask him. Let me listen to 3 songs. Just 3. 3 of your favorites right now. Listen to what the enemy's telling our kids to do. Then was Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was already heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Make a note, verse 20. Make sure you're working for the right king. Make a note. Make sure you and I, make sure we are working for the right king. Verse 21, these men were bound, underlined bound, in their coats and their hosen and their hats, and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. Sometimes you got to be bound before you set free. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We've all been delivered and set free. Sometimes you get bound before you get set free. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire killed those men which took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Make sure you're working for the right king. Make sure. It's consequences of working for the wrong king. Verse 23, and we'll end right here. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound. They fell down. I believe when they fell down, they were worshiping in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Sometimes you got to worship in the fire. Make a note of that. Even though you feel bound and you're in the fire, you got in it seven times crazier, you still got to worship in the fire. Because as we're going to see, there's freedom in the fire. That's not a popular message. I know I wouldn't get too many amens with that, but there's freedom in the fire. Sometimes you got to go through before you become free.
Yes.
I know it's not popular, Sister Tara. I know. I know we want to name it and claim it and grab it and blab it and God us for no more. I know we want to say that. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true that, O king, true that. Verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Sometimes you got to be bound before you get set free. You got to worship in the fire because there's freedom in the fire. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here's the other question, and we got to stop here because of time. When you're in the fire, when you're in the midst of your circumstances and situations, do people see Jesus walking with you? When you get the pink slip on the job, are you the first one cussing, fussing, and taking a swing at the boss? Or do people look and say, man, that's a tough situation, but I see Jesus all over. I see Jesus. Make a note. They watched them before they were in the fire. That's how they knew they wouldn't bow down and worship the image. And then when they were in the fire, they were still watching them. People are watching you and I to see what we're going to do. Oh, you're reading your Bible every day at lunch and you're the first one cussing people out when something happens on the job. They're watching you. Oh, yeah. You know, he's a Christian. No, he couldn't be a Christian. You know, she's a Christian. At what church? What church she go to? I ain't never going there. If that's the way they're teaching over there, I ain't never going there. Why? Because people are watching you in the fire. They don't care what you say when the sun is out and the birds are chirping. But how do you handle it when the storms of life come? This fiery, it's heated, crazier than anything you ever dealt with. How do you handle it then? Shucks, we got to stop there. I'm going to ask the brothers to come up. Brother Clarence, Brother Anthony. So we take communion this morning and we'll pick up this message next time. But that same Jesus that was with them in the midst of the fiery furnace is the same Jesus that died on that cross and resurrected the third day. The same Jesus that broke bread on the night that he was betrayed and told his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. Wow. The same Jesus who said, do this in remembrance of me. And Natalie, take us to 1 Corinthians 11. 23 and 24, if they can fit. It's the same God. And Sister Kathy talked about it our Wednesday night service when we had a presentation from one of our pastors, one of my good friends who's a pastor, and he's a Hebrew scholar. He broke down when Abraham had to offer up Isaac. And a comparison, it was just a preview of when God had to offer up Jesus. How everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. And now we have an obvious message here. Where Jesus was actually in the fire with them. It didn't have to point to him. He showed up. Thank you, brothers. Go ahead and pass out the sacraments. You guys look good this morning. Thank you, brothers. Jesus, it not only pointed to him in the book of Daniel, but he actually showed up. He said, I see four men walking in the fire loose. And the fourth one looks like God. And if we were to continue to read, and we'll pick it up next time because it gets better. Amen. How the king gave his life to Christ because they took a stand. Sometimes when we go through the fire, it's not for us. It's for the people that God's trying to minister to. When I was in college, and my roommate in college, Mark, was going through whatever he was going through, it was for him to minister to me because I needed ministering to. He probably thought it was for him, but his lifestyle and his witness was for me to say something different about Mark. What you're going through, you think it's about you. It's not you. We got to get out of ourselves sometimes. We read on the first Sunday in July, it was the man who was born blind. They're trying to point blame. Whose fault was it? Jesus says nobody's fault. It's so God could be glorified. It's a setup. Yeah. What you and I are going through is a setup. We got to make it through the fire. So the king gives his life to Christ and they get promoted. But if they don't go through the fire and they sell out and worship, nothing changes. They change history because they took a stand. You'll change history by not taking a stand. Somebody say amen. Amen. Elevate that which represents his body. Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. This reminds us that his body was broken. And for those of us that's been to Israel and we've taken communion at the garden tomb over the empty tomb, it's nothing more amazing than knowing that this is not mythology. It's not science fiction. It's an actual place where we go and we saw where our Lord and Savior resurrected. It cost him a price for us to be free. We can live for him. If he did all that for us, the least we could do is live for him. Paul said it's a reasonable service. Paul was begging us, be a living sacrifice. Go and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. We've been reading in the book of Leviticus on Wednesday nights in our Bible study. And it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Also in Leviticus, it said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Just that practicality alone. If you lose too much blood, you die. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The Bible told us that a long time ago. You go to the doctor, they said, we need to take some blood to see what's going on with you. Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why we had to be saved by Jesus Christ shedding his blood for us, because his blood gives us life and that more abundantly. It through him. Thank you. If you want to know what's going on, have the doctors check out your blood. They start there. That's what God's been telling us. If it's something that's going on in your life, it's because of the blood. You're not walking in a new covenant. You're not committed to the blood of Christ. Let your will line up with his will. He died. He shed his blood. We will be without excuse. So, God, we ask that you would forgive us of any sins, Lord. And if it's anybody we hold in a grudge against, Lord, we got to let it go. You said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So we agree with your word, Lord. We're not going to ask you to forgive us and then we're going to be holding a grudge against somebody else. If you could die for us while we were yet sinners, Lord, we could live for you and forgive others. So we ask, Lord, forgive us of our sins we commit knowingly, unknowingly, pretend didn't happen, tried to cover up. We release anyone that's wronged us, Lord. We trust you, Lord, and that's the bottom line. We'll let you fight the battle. We'll humble ourselves so that you can lift us up at the right time. But God, we hold no ought against anyone, no ill will against anyone. Matter of fact, we know, as the song said, it was your grace. But by the grace of God, there go I, Lord. Without your grace, where would any of us be? For by grace are we saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Lord, we are so thankful. Thank you for your blood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Brothers are collecting the sacraments. Let's give God a hand of praise this morning. Can you hear me? This was just a special morning all the way around. I had my roommate from college just come in town and just bless us through the ministry of music. And then I got a call, I guess it was yesterday, that my good friend, we were youth pastors at the same time. He would invite me all the time. I don't know why. I was afraid to death. But he would invite me to his church to speak to his youth, and I would let God use me then. That was over 20 years ago. Then he went on from youth pastor to be city council in Carson, and then from the city council, he's now with the California State Assembly. Am I correct? That's Assemblyman Mike. Come on up, Mike. Say a few words to the... Mike Gibson's in the house. I just feel real special this morning, you know?
Good to see you.
Amen. So just take a minute to share, and then I'll have, can you pray us out of here too?
Sure.
Amen.
Sure. Amen. First of all, let me give reverence to God, because without him I have nothing. I give honor to the angel of this house. Can you just do me a favor? Can you put your hands together and give God some praise for this great.